Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
We're going to talk today. This will feel like probably preaching to the choir, but I just want you to take it in anyway. And maybe there's some things that hopefully will touch your heart, maybe even convict your heart like it's convicted mine. I'm calling this, How Will They Know? Exodus 33, and we've made mention of this over the weeks. You know, let's start off a little further back than I wanted to, but let's start off at Exodus 33, verse 7. You know, this is Old Testament, and we understand in the Old Testament that it was God came as a cloud, a pillar of fire, and he was habitating in the tabernacle and in the ark. And it says, verse 7, it says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent. You got to love that. We're talking about the presence of the Lord showing up, and what do? They worship. It's, you know, what do we do today? We worship. You worship until he comes. You worship while he's here. You ask the Lord, what would you like to do today? We just keep on worshiping. We keep a posture of worship. Amen. And then it says, the Lord spoke to Moses. And these are the lines that often we're like, oh, so beautiful. This was Old Testament. We now have the New Testament, that we have a new covenant that we can do this as well. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. I really wanted to just read that and make you aware that Joshua, who is a younger leader, understood already, because he's going to become the future leader. I don't think he even knew that, but he had enough wisdom to know, you know what? This is where God shows up. I'm staying. I'm staying where God is. And even Moses would leave, but he would stay in the tabernacle. Now, we don't know if the cloud stayed, went, and came, but he just knew. I think he knew, I'm staying in the tabernacle. I'm staying in that place. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. And I keep going back to that because right now, we need to make that a daily prayer. God, right now in this season, show me your way. You guys with me? Don't show me the way of the media. Don't show me the way of other voices. Lord, would you show me your way right now? When I wake up today for my life, where I'm going today, where you're calling me to travel, show me your way. Because the reality is where my mom goes or Claude goes or Krista goes or David goes or, you know, wherever we go, Pascal, everybody has a different way in that moment of encounters. Things that they'll be, you know, encountering during the day. And we need to know the Lord's heart for us personally. What Sean's going to encounter is going to be different than what I'm going to encounter. But it's the same God who will walk us through each of us. Amen? And he says, show me your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you, love it, rest. Don't we need that right now? We need rest. Rest in our hearts. Rest is not a ceasing of activity or motion or doing. It's a posture of heart. The world right now needs rest. Our neighbors right now need rest. Okay? Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Like, we'd rather stay here in a desert than we would go anywhere else to the promised land if you don't go with us. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. He's basically saying, God, how will they know if you don't go with us? How will they know if your presence does not come with us when we travel? How will they know there's even a difference? And I'm saying right now, church, we need to get back to that simple truth. How will they know if the Lord's presence is not with us? There's a lot of things, and I've talked about it many times, being said and talked about, and there's different sides to every part of this equation that we're walking through right now. You know, we know it, mask, no mask. You know, it's real, it's not real. You have the politics. But in the end, it all comes down to, as believers, we need to be saying, Lord, how will they know if they don't feel the presence of God on me? It's not my knowledge that's going to change them. It's not my position that's going to change them. But I'll tell you this, if they sense something different, when you walk up, they will know the difference. I've told you this story many times. I had a chance very early on last year when I was buying a trailer. You know, have you ever been, you know in the morning, geez, it would be great to encounter somebody and pray with them and lead them to the Lord. But often you go throughout your day and you forget. And you get busy. Anybody else like that? You know, we go to the grocery store and it's like, I got my tasks to do. And I had an opportunity, and I won't go through all the details, but it was so awesome that when I got to this house and I changed my mindset, all of a sudden I know that they knew that there was something different because the conversation changed. And all of a sudden we're talking, it came down to a feather on my shirt. I have a shirt with a feather. I really, you know, feathers have meant a lot over the years for me to try to remind myself to stay in rest. It's hard for me to stay in rest. And as I repented on the way back of my attitude, I get there and she's like, oh my gosh, I love the feather on your shirt. And as we talked about the feather, then all of a sudden she disappears and comes back with this beautiful feather. And she asks, you know, can I give you this feather? It means a lot to me. And obviously feathers mean a lot to you. And then later on, I had a chance to say, because this gentleman has COPD and all these different things, and fear was running rampant because of COVID. And I just said, can I pray with you? And he said, I would love that so much. And I had a chance to pray with him. I don't know the end result, but all I know is the atmosphere changed. How will they know? See, if we run around with our heads cut off and full of fear, they'll know that we're with them in that situation. And I want to tell you right now, there is zero condemnation. I want to let you know that this is a journey that we're all on. Because in Philippians, Paul is in prison, possibly awaiting death, and he says the words, be anxious for nothing. Are you kidding me? He writes almost all of the books, a lot of times in prison. And he says, be anxious for nothing. But how many know that he's inviting us into a journey where we can get to that place? And a lot of times I'll speak personally, felt condemnation for not being there. And the Lord has to remind me, listen, it's a journey. If we don't know that, watch the disciples. Like seriously, look at the disciples and how they would say things. He'd be like, oh gosh. We're back here again. You know, literally almost to the point when he's going to the cross, they're still like, I'm going to be number one. You're going to be number two. You're not even going to be on the chairs with me. I'm going to be like right beside him. They're like, oh my gosh, disciples, it's not for you to know. It's for the Father to know who will sit beside. Like, it's just a journey that we get to be on. So if you're anxious, you get to say today, it's a journey, but I'm pursuing him. That maybe one day I can say, be anxious for nothing. But what I want to tell you is, you can't be anxious for nothing without the Spirit and presence of God. If you do, it's all flesh trying to make it happen. So turn to Luke with me. We're going to go through a story here. We would know this well. This is Mary and Martha. Luke 10. We're going to start at verse 38. Grab it on your phones or I hear pages flipping, which is always beautiful. How many like old school books? How many are all about the, you know, Kindle app? You know, everything's on your phone or on Both. Wow. I try to always have one book I can read at night so I'm not on my screen, you know. Luke 10. Mary and Martha. We're going to start at verse 38. I think I've said that, right? So now it happened as they went. Now it happened as they went, he, meaning Jesus, entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So right off the bat, as I did research, you need to understand that Martha was most likely the oldest because she would be the one to invite Jesus as the elder into the house. Now, there's some key words I want to look at because we know this story well, and we make sometimes assumptions, I think, into this story. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Don't you love that? Going to a higher authority. Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part which will not be taken away from her." You know, we know this story well, and often people will say, you know, that's two types of people, one that's very the servant, the active person, and one that just loves to wait on the Lord. And that's how I've often viewed it. But it's interesting, as I researched it and look at some of the words, and I want you to go back. It says, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And some of the commentaries really feel like that means that at one point, Martha sat at the feet of Jesus. Because it says, she also sat at the feet of Jesus. So they feel like, yes, she sat at the feet of Jesus, but at some point, the overwhelming need to want to serve or be, because it's going to use words like anxious, she got wrapped up going, "I need to be doing something right now. This feels like a waste of time. This feels like I'm not doing my proper duty. This feels like I'm letting somebody down. I'm letting Jesus down. I'm letting the Son of God down." You can see where this goes, right? Anybody ever have rabbit trails that lead you that way? Yeah, you know, like it can be called catastrophic thinking, right? You know, it's raining. Oh my gosh, it's going to flood. It's just raining. But we can get anxious like that. And then it's interesting, it goes on. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care?" Come on, church, have we felt like that over the last year? Let's be real. You know, maybe we haven't used those words, but I think all of us have said, "Lord, we're praying for this thing to stop. We're praying for peace upon the earth. We're praying for division to stop, Lord." And maybe we don't use those words, but it kind of comes down to, "Lord, it doesn't feel like you care right now. Where are you?" Has anybody asked in the midst of this, "God, where are you?" And if you feel condemned for saying that, no. Because I'll read some things in a minute that you'll understand that these are positions that we can get into. Now, we can often think, because, you know, he's going to say, "Martha, Martha." Now, the way I picture it is Martha's like scatterbrained. Like she's running around. "Oh my God, we've got all these things to do. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? I got to cook. You know, I got to clean. And so I think of it two ways where Jesus goes, "Martha, Martha, stop." That's the way I can think of it. It's not that way, but that's the way you can almost, because she's distracted and she's all over the place. I also want to say this, because she says, let's go back to, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me?" Did you get that? "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work?" So I want you to understand that at one point, Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus and she got distracted. And I want you to understand that at some point, Mary was serving, but she felt like she needed to sit at the feet of Jesus. And then Martha gets overwhelmed. And I want to read these words to you. The King James says, "But Martha was cumbered." Does anybody even use that word? cumbered. I don't use that word. Jason, do you ever use that word? No, I thought you said yes there for a second. Cumbered. It means to draw away, to distract, to be driven about mentally. Cumbered means to be driven about mentally. It means to be distracted, to be occupied, to be busy, to be dragged all around. Have you ever felt like your thoughts drag you around? Nobody else? It's like, I got to do this. So I'm very visual. So when I clean the house, I have a hard time staying on task. Because I start cleaning the floor, but then I see. And then I see. And the floor's not clean. I'm half clean the floor, but I'm seeing I have to fix this over here. And I have to like stay on task. That's kind of what reminds me. I'm being dragged around by my mental thoughts at that moment. So that's the word cumbered. The dictionary, that's actually out of the Greek. Hebrew, Greek. New Testament is? Greek. Thank you. You're the winner. I lost it for a second. All right. The dictionary says cumbered means to hinder, to hamper, to overload, to burden, to inconvenience. You get the idea where this word is going. It's so overwhelmed. And over the last year, I would say people probably would say over this last year, they have felt overwhelmed, overburdened, distracted, hampered, been dragged all over the place with their thoughts. 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. This week was like that. Man, Wednesday, oh my gosh, we're back in a lockdown. I got to close the church. We got 10 people. We're trying to figure out how to get 10 people. That was my Wednesday. But then Wednesday night, somebody sends me an email. Church is back to 15%. I'm like, oh my God, we're all over the place. And you can be overwhelmed and you could be anxious. It's interesting. The King James then goes and says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The New King James says, you are worried and troubled. That word, it says, thou are careful. Like I said, the New King James says, thou are worried and troubled. Thou are careful means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares, and to take no thought. And I like this other one, to seek or promote one's interest. There's so much in that word. Because right now, and if you look throughout all the other references, he says, take no thought. Take no thought to what you're going to wear tomorrow. Take no thought to what you're going to eat tomorrow. Take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. You know, Pastor said it earlier. She said, do not fear is a command. Do you know why he would often say, do not fear? Because they were in fear. Do you know why he said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous? And a few lines later, be strong and very courageous. Do you need to tell somebody that's already strong and courageous? No. He's telling them that because he's not feeling very strong and courageous. And he says, do not fear because we fear. He says, be anxious for nothing because we often get anxious. And here the words are, you're troubled and anxious. King James is, take no thought. Why? Because we're taking thought. We're taking thought. I'd like to propose to you that I think we're actually in this season accidentally eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I think we are spending so much time trying to figure this out that we're actually not spending enough time eating from the tree of life. I go back to how will they know? They won't know if we figure it out. They won't know if we're the ones on the right side and somebody else is on the wrong side. They will not know that we are Christians in that sense. They will know we are Christians because of the presence of God that goes with us. But if we spend so much time eating from the tree of life, and he says, hey, you're troubled and anxious about a lot of things. Again, I go back to King James. Take no thought. I would say it this way. Do not get caught up in all these things. Because Martha's running around thinking, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to figure this out. I got to know what to do. I got to know what he wants to eat. You know, I'm paraphrasing what she's thinking. But you can understand, this is that mode. And she's like, don't you care, God, that my sister left me to do all this work? He's like, Martha, you don't understand. Now, this is the way I believe he said it. Martha, Martha. You don't understand. You are so troubled and worried. Listen, Mary's taking a better portion. Mary's functioning differently. She's getting her spirit quieted. Come join us again. I think he was inviting Martha back to sit at his feet. I don't think he was angry with her. Come on, Jesus is going to get angry with her for making a meal? No, he's trying to get her back to the better place. And so I'm saying, church, we got to get back to that better place right now. Because you and I cannot control what is happening. Did you figure that out yet? Whatever way you think you want to think it looks and how it's going, we're not able to control it. So what's the best thing we can do? Get the presence of God upon us wherever we go. You may feel like that mask, you're in prison. Well, then let's take a note out of Paul's book. Be anxious for nothing. And when he was in prison, he thought, well, here I am. Well, let's do the Lord's work. And when he was out of prison, he said, well, here I am. Let's do the Lord's work. Nothing changed. Prisoners got saved. Roman soldiers got saved. Paul's so radical, he's like, man, I'm actually able to speak to people I'd never get to speak with. This is amazing. Okay, I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. But there's a man that went to a whole nother level on a journey with God. I'm like, man, these are people I'll never get to speak with. This is awesome. But all I know is that how will they know unless the presence of God goes with us? How will they know? Interesting. I want to read a quote. I think this is funny, maybe personally. I've been listening to a guy. He does managing leadership anxiety. And of course, over this season as a pastor, his ministry has exploded. A lot of pastors and leaders are looking to him. I think it's funny because his name is Steve Cuss. I thought, man, with a name like that, you're probably holding your tongue a lot. So anyway, he stated this. He said, the way you know you're anxious is that you forget God is with you. Drop the mic. The way you know you're anxious is you forget God is with you. Take it right back to Mary and Martha. Martha forgot because she was anxious and troubled about many things. She forgot Jesus was in the next room. And folks, it's as simple as that. Right now, with all that's going on, it's easy to forget that Jesus is not in the next room. Jesus is right here. They say clinically, spiritual psychologists say, it is almost impossible to feel the presence of God when you are overwhelmed with anxiety. It's not that God left. It's that you cannot feel him because of your anxiety. So often they will assume that God is no longer with them. But God promises us he will never leave us nor forsake us. If you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to the R3 with Linda, because she gave such a key that I've been using personally, because she said, you know, we have to learn to go, is this a fact or a feeling? And when she said that, you know, it's not that I haven't maybe heard things like it, but it's just like it pierced me, because in this season right now, we're trying to eat out of the tree of knowledge and we want all facts, and I don't want to go there. But the reality is sometimes we have to stop and go, okay, is this truth or is this just how I'm feeling? So for Martha, I think Jesus was there luckily and stopped her and went, Martha, Martha, you're feeling anxious and troubled. That's your feeling. But the fact is, I'm right here. I'm right here. I know you can't feel it right now. I know you are all over the place. And I love that line. It said, I don't necessarily love it, but it says to seek or promote one's interests. Haven't we seen that a lot in this season? Everybody trying to promote their theory. Everybody running around saying, I got the answer. Nobody's got the answer. I'm telling you right now, only Jesus has the answer to this. Because you may think you have all the facts because you watched that one video and it told you everything about it. But I'm telling you, I could show you another video and somebody else sends me another video. So I have to. And I went down that rabbit trail, but I'm having to get back. And if you have a video, don't send it to me. All right? Because I have to get back to the tree of life. It has not helped me one bit. It didn't help me when I got anxious that we were closing. And it didn't help me that I got anxious that we were opening. It didn't help me one bit. And don't kid yourself, that's why I went to this guy, because I'm like, leaders, and myself included, there is so much anxiety right now to try to figure this out. And I'm like, Lord, you have got to show me the way back to your presence. You have got to show me the way back to rest in you, because you promised it to Moses, and that's Old Testament. So surely, surely you have given us the peace in the New Testament, and we can find that place. But let me read some things for you. I'm going to read two scriptures. Jeremiah 29. You could turn to it with me. We know this. You know, we quote it. I often quote the first verse, you know, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many have ever quoted that scripture over your life? Anybody? Good declaration to have. But listen, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I think sometimes as a church, we just want the answer without finding out how to get there. And that's why Moses is like, show me your way. Show me how to do this. Like Moses, this is brand new. Like there's no script, kind of like us in COVID right now. There's no script for this. So it's like, Lord, you got to show me your way. I'll read that again. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. Then you will search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. That's great news, isn't it? But the onus is on us to stop and take time. Now, it doesn't mean we cease activity forever, but I'm telling you, we need to start our day and end our day, and possibly in the middle of the day, because I'm doing all three, and just get quiet before the Lord. Do you know that one of the words for trouble and anxiety means disquieted? It's the actual opposite of being quiet before the Lord. It's your brain going so fast. I'm literally having to train myself to go, you know what? Like if I don't shut that stuff off, my brain all over the place. And I have to learn to quiet myself once again. Okay, Lord, the knowledge is not helping. That tree is terrible fruit, but the tree of life. And he invites us in this scripture to say, hey, come and search for me with all your heart right now. In your confusion, search for me. In your, you know, not understanding, search for me. Not for the answers, church. Not for the answers. See, we want to find the answers. You're not going to find the answers. But you're going to find him. And he is the answer. And so resting in him. Let me give you one more scripture. We know this well. You don't have to turn to it. You can write it down. Hebrews 11, 6. So this is New Testament. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to learn again to shut it all off. Why? The question is why? Because how will they know? If we're running around just like everybody else trying to solve the answer, how will they know? But I'm telling you, somebody gets near you and feels, they can feel the peace of God on you if you carry it. I promise you. I remind myself often of the day that this started a year and a few weeks ago. You know, you forget, right? And then I just remember going in that day because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if the stores would be shut down. So the stores were crowded. And I just remember going, I need to shift the atmosphere. I've told this story, but I just remind myself, I needed to shift the atmosphere. I didn't start praying in tongues because that would have just made me really weird. I didn't, you know, I probably prayed under my breath, but I thought, how do I shift the atmosphere? Well, I'm going to get really fun. And I started to just laugh and make jokes about things to buy and, you know, because it was so tense, the atmosphere. And so we're just having fun. And then, you know, of course, people start joking in with you. And the key for me was when I got done and I paid for my groceries, I'm just about to leave. The girl behind me goes, I'm so thankful I got in line with you. I needed that. Now, it wasn't the jokes that she needed, because I'm not that funny. She needed to feel what I was carrying. I wasn't eating at the tree. I was eating and partaking of life in that moment. And I'm really amazed, because I think back, and that's the same time that I had to cancel the Awaken conference and schools were being canceled. And I thought, Lord, we weren't far enough in for me to start diving into that tree of knowledge. I was still eating from the tree of life at that moment. And I could see the difference. But if you walk in and you're frazzled, now please understand, I'm not talking about rebelling. I hope you understand. I'm talking about just going in with the peace of God and being like, you know what? Because I've rested and I've eaten from that tree of life today, I'm going in with peace. And maybe there's somebody that can eat from my tree today. There's somebody looking for that fruit of going, man, I need the fruit that you carry, because I've been eating from this tree and it ain't working. But somehow you've got fruit on a whole nother tree and I need to eat of that. And maybe, just maybe, that'll open up a door in a conversation to be able to talk. Amen? I want to give you a few things. You know, we probably, many of you might do this, but this is kind of what I've been doing. I want to just make it really practical. In this season, I've had to learn day after day, learning to go in the morning when I wake up. First thing I'm trying to do is, good morning, Holy Spirit. You know, we've been talking about Holy Spirit. I'm reading currently the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, by Benny Hinn. Just a powerful book. You know, older book, but still so relevant today. So, good morning, Holy Spirit. Do I remember every day? No. So I give myself grace, but I try to remember. And then what do? I get out my journal. And in the beginning of the day, I try to remind myself three things that I'm grateful for. Be like, what do you need to do that for? Because I need a perspective change. Because for a long time, I wasn't doing this. And I would do it, and then I wouldn't do it. I'm like, Lord, I got to do this every day. It's something that I have to remind myself, because there's so much negative that I got to shift it right back to the positive. Now, I don't know about you, but when Pastor talked about that situation in Ghana compared to how I'm living, you're living, we're all living, we could write 10 pages on being grateful. I don't know about you, but when's the last time you didn't have a bathroom in your house, windows, and food? I think we've been really off course with how bad this is. It's not good. There's actually a few people sick right now that I know of that have COVID. We're going to pray. We're, you know, praying for these people. But I'll tell you, I still go home and I'm thankful. I got a house. I've got a couch. I've got several bathrooms. Right? I got two working bathrooms. Like, put it into perspective. We're often seeing what we don't have. See, I think when we see that, we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I think when we go into gratefulness, we turn back to the tree of life. Oh, God, thank you. I got two working bathrooms most of the time. When I don't get the text, Dad, I clogged the toilet. Did you get it? They don't call me, they text me. So, it's so weird. We're living in a day and age. They don't tell you, they text you. But we do right back. Please be quiet. We're going to bed. Good night. I got food in my pantry. Anybody else in the last year cook steak? Raise your hand if you cook steak over the last year. Look at your hands. Dave did it twice. Four times. Do I? Come on. When we start looking like that, are we hurting? Now, emotionally and mentally, maybe it is. I have gone through that just like you. But we have a body of believers and a King Jesus. Like, but we have people in our church to turn to and look to and call, right? We're not alone. And King Jesus never leaves us, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. We're not alone. We have to remind ourselves that. I'm determined as a church, we are going to have breakthrough into what's called family. I recently had a talk with a girl. She's Chaldean. She came over to Canada when she was one. And I just, beautiful girl, just talking with her. I said, so what does your family miss the most? Because she was not aware of being raised in Lebanon, and her parents actually came from Iraq, being persecuted because they're Catholic. And they had to flee Iraq to Lebanon and Lebanon into Canada. And she said, man, the one thing that they miss and talk about the most is Canada is so driven. You guys never stop. It's never enough. She says, my family misses family. My family misses the culture of family. I thought, okay, I'm listening. I am listening, Lord. Because even as Christians, that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree of mammon. That's more, more, more. And yet we got family all around. Pick up the phone. Hey, just wanted to say hello. I'm guilty of it too. Okay, so you got gratefulness, three things. Here's a new one I want you to try at the end of the day. At the end of the day, if you journal, encourage you to journal, try to find and, you know, take 10 minutes. It's a great thing to do, actually, to do a brain dump at the end of the day, but have a focus on it. Take some time and say, Lord, where did I see the goodness of the Lord today? This is actually a little different than gratefulness. This is not just going, I'm thankful for my house. It's actually taking time and going, Lord, where did you show up with the goodness of God? And maybe I didn't become aware of it. I wanted to get into a massage that was no way I could get into it. And somebody went in and talked to them about some issues I was having. And before I knew it, they booked an appointment without me even knowing it. And this person came and said, you got to get in and see this person. So I'm trying to get in. And they're confused because they're like, you're already in. I booked you an appointment. That's the goodness of God. Because when I went on her site, they said, now booking into July. And I had to step back and go, Lord, I miss sometimes the simple goodness of God. The simple goodness of God. I had another opportunity that somebody I was praying with said, you got to pray with this person. And so they gave me, that person gave my number to that person. Before I know it, I'm talking with somebody on the phone and they're from the Toronto movement and had prayed for all these people. And they thought, I just want to pray the goodness of God and the Father's heart over you. I'm like, I didn't even make that happen. And all of you have, those are just pronounced moments over the last 2 weeks for me because I haven't had some of those in a while. But he wants me to find the smaller things, the simple things where he's like, look, 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 that was my goodness. Don't go so quick that you miss the goodness of God. So that's what I would encourage you to do at the end of the day. And the last thing, of course, I hope you all read your word. Of course, I hope you read your word. But I encourage you, and I'm going to post some this week, find a song that you could simply stop to. There's some beautiful soaking music you can find, piano, violin, whatever it is for you. A lot of times I need something that I could just detach from, and I try to spend 5 minutes in that position of disconnecting my brain and trying to open up my heart. I say, Lord, I'm just going to sit before you. It is hard. If you're a Martha in your brain, any Martha in your brains? And then he says, take no thought. That's impossible. It's a learned thing. It's not that I stop thinking. It's actually I turn my thinking and I turn my focus on him. Because when I get in the morning, a lot of times it's easy for me to start the day with all the things that I got to do. My brain just starts going. So I've been in a season of training myself to go back to simplicity, focus, eating from that tree. Why? Because how will they know if they don't sense the presence of God on us? And you may say, that's never happened. That's wrong. You just don't know what's happened. Because all of us, if we carry the presence, it changes the atmosphere. How do we know? Because God says he will never leave us or forsake us. That means he will walk with us. But in this season, instead of getting flustered and anxious, why don't we take this time and go, Lord, let's go on a journey. Because I think he's calling Claude, Claude. Jason, come on with me. Martha, you troubled about many things, but there's a better way. Amen. Please stand. God, I thank you that there's no condemnation. Lord, I thank you that you continually are drawing us into a journey. Just like you did with Mary and Martha, Peter, James, and John. Paul went into the backside of a desert for years to figure this out. We wonder why he said, be anxious for nothing. He was in a desert figuring this out. So Father God, I thank you that you're inviting us into a journey to eat the tree of life. Lord, would you forgive us where we have veered and wanted to, because of our anxiousness, because of our troubledness, because of our not understanding, because of our anger, our frustration, wanting to find the answers. Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us and say, Lord, help us to go back to the tree of life. Father God, we want to give you the ability to overturn this. Father God, we lift up those that would be battling COVID right now, Father God, whether we know them or we don't. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen their immune systems. You would strengthen their body. We pray for loved ones that, Father God, are worried about those that have it, whether young or old. We just ask, Father God, that you would, Lord, keep them. Keep their minds, Father God, as they are trying to care for loved ones. And some are even in nursing homes they can't get in, or hospitals, Lord. We ask that you would keep them and protect them. But Father God, I thank you. I was just reading last night, you know, you healed the woman of infirmity. And we just ask right now that those that have the infirmity of COVID, we say, be gone in Jesus' name, and health come back to your hearts. Health come back to your lungs. Health come back to your bodies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we just pray the blood of Jesus over everyone here. As we go and as we come, Lord, we pray that you would protect and guard and watch over us. And that we choose right now to journey to enter back into that place of peace and life. Because we say, Lord, how will they know if you don't go with us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.